beforehand, and to go ahead and make sure that we're getting to things on time in advance, so we can go ahead and appreciate what we're about to engage in. So that's what I would, on his inspiration, spend 15, 18 minutes with you right now, just to talk a little bit about how to get ourselves ready for Yom Kippur, how to prepare ourselves for Yom Kippur. I'm just going to open up a Rambam for a second. And the Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, where he opens up about this mitzvah of tshuva. It's a mitzvah that really applies all year long, but now is the most opportune time for the mitzvah of tshuva. So the Rambam speaks about the mitzvah. Really, the mitzvah is vidui, is to go ahead and confess. And that's the maisa ha-mitzvah. The kiyum ha-mitzvah is tshuva, but the maisa ha-mitzvah is the mitzvah, is vidui. And this is what the Rambam writes. He says, Kol mitzvah is the first halacha in Hilchos Tshuva. Kol ha-mitzvah shabat Torah ben aseh ben lo taseh im over adam al achas men ben bezadam ben mishkaga kishe yaseh tshuva v'yoshuv michet. Oh, when you do tshuva and you move away from the sin, chayev lehisvados lifnei hakel baruch hu. You have to do vidu. You have to confess. You have to come clean. Shneemar, and then he quotes a pasuk, and then the Rambam says, Ketzad misvadeh. How do you do vidui? So number one, the Rambam says, vidui dvarim. You have to explicate. You have to express it in words. And it's a mitzvah asay to express it in words. Ketzad misvadeh, ona Hashem chatosi avisi pashati lefanecha vasisi kach vekach. You identify exactly what you did wrong. Vare nichamti. You regret that which you did. Uboshti. You're embarrassed by what you did. B'maasi ula olam. And then you make a commitment that eini chozel adaber zeh, that I'm not going to go back and do this again. And zeu ikaro shel vidui. And this is the ikar part of vidui. And then the Rambam says, kol hamarbe lihisvados, and someone who is marbe, does vidui a lot, be'inyin zeh harei zeh mishubach. That is a praiseworthy thing to do. So the Rambam emphasizes the mitzvah saseh d'oraisa to do vidui, and that's kishiyase tshuva. When you do tshuva, you need vidui. Vidui is a prerequisite to tshuva, vidui dvarim, that you regret what you did and you will commit not to do it again. So it's important to understand what vidui is all about. It's important to prepare for vidui. And I have in my hands over here a book. It's called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. And the second habit is called Begin with the End in Mind, which means when you're about to go into something, when you're about to do something, it's a good idea to first think about what you want it to look like at the end. Begin with the end in mind. Don't just walk in without a plan, without a vision, without a goal, but try and understand when you want to build a house, first you go ahead and prepare blueprints. You identify what you want it to look like, and after the blueprints are prepared, then you'll go ahead and you'll start the building. You don't just start building. If you start building without a plan of what you want it to look like, then you might end up with a bathroom where the kitchen's supposed to be, and the kitchen is going to be upstairs where you don't want the kitchen to be. You need a blueprint first. You first develop your blueprint. You begin with the end in mind, then you start the process of building. And he quotes a very, very profound mashal. He says, imagine for a second, close your eyes for a second, and imagine that you're at a funeral. And you're at a funeral, and you see everyone is standing in respect and in contemplation about this particular person who passed away. And you walk into the room. And you walk into the room, and you start to approach the coffin that is sitting in the front of the room. And you take a peek in the coffin, and you notice that in that coffin is you. You're in the coffin. Whoa, this is your funeral. And who's speaking at the funeral? Who's speaking at the funeral is your wife, is going to be one of the maspidim at the funeral. And who else is speaking? Your father, your brother, your best friend, and your business partner. Perhaps your rabbi is speaking at this funeral. And they're going to go ahead and give a hesped. They're going to give a eulogy about you. What would you want them to say about you? What would you want your wife to say about you? What would you want your children to say about you? What would you want your father and mother to say about you? Your business partner, your friend, your rav. What would you want them to say about you? That's the end. That's the end. That's where we're all at some point heading. And the reality is, says Stephen Covey, you have the ability to script those hespedim. And the way we live our lives, the way we are friends to our friends, the way we are spouses to our spouses, sons to our parents, parents to our children, business people to our business partners, and religious Jews to the Ribbono Shel Olam and to our Rabbanim. So that is the way we live, is how ultimately we're going to script those eulogies. We're going to script those hespedim. And don't, therefore, you want to live. If you can script your hesped, so you want to script it in the right way. So there's a concept of begin with the end in mind. Get a sense of what you want it to look like, what you want it to be, and then you start to do the work. Build your blueprint, and then, after the blueprint is created, then you go ahead and start your construction. So when it comes to any area of Avodas Hashem, we see this all the time in Avodas Hashem. When it comes to Shabbos, the Gemara tells us, Kol HaToreach Be'erev Shabbos Yochel B'Shabbos. You're not going to have a good Geshmak Shabbos if you don't do the work on Friday. If the cholent is not prepared, if the dishes are not prepared, if the house is not cleaned, if you're not showered, Shabbos is not going to be Shabbos. You have to do the work before Shabbos to make Shabbos Shabbos. That's true in any area of spirituality. Kabbalah HaTorah was premised. The premise of Kabbalah HaTorah was, before Kabbalah HaTorah, Heyu Nechonim L'Shloshes Yom. Spend 3 days getting yourself ready for Kabbalah HaTorah. We're told, separate. The men separated from their wives to get themselves ready spiritually for Kabbalah HaTorah. You don't just walk into Kabbalah HaTorah. You have to get yourself ready spiritually for Kabbalah HaTorah. When it comes to tefillah, the Rambam brings down the halacha that before we walk into Davin, we have to clear our heads. We have to put ourselves in the right mindset. Hasidim HaRishonim used to go ahead and prepare for 1 hour before they walked into tefillah. They daven for an hour and then an hour of withdrawal from tefillah. A person has to get himself into the right mindset, get himself into the right frame of mind. And that's the truth is, that's what these days are for. Is before Rosh Hashanah, we have Elul. That's to help us to get into the right mindset for Rosh Hashanah. And we're blowing the shofar and we're saying L'David, getting ourselves, and then starting to say Slichos, to get ourselves in the right mindset for Rosh Hashanah. Aseres Yimei Tshuva, and in particular Shabbos Tshuva, is to help us get into the right mindset for Yom HaKippur. And what I'd like to just share with you now is I'm not going to say any chidushim over here. I'm just saying the obvious. But I am telling you, do not walk into Sunday evening without preparation. You don't just walk into Yom HaKippurim like any other Shabbos, like any other. You have to walk in with preparation. And you should therefore be looking at the machzer in advance, reviewing the machzer. And I sent on the chat, I sent a series of pieces of paper which go over the vidui. And they explain the vidui in English. And when you're going to clap al chet 10, 11 times over the course of Yom Kippur, to know what you're saying and to open up your machzer, to open up your machzer today and Motzei Shabbos on Sunday and write in your machzer. I had a dear friend of mine. Unfortunately, he passed way too young. He passed at the age of 30. He lived right. I'm sitting in Nachal Tamar 3. He lived, as I point my hand, my next door neighbor, Nachal Tamar number 1. Name was Michael Selesny. Went to work one day. Seemed totally fine. Totally fine. At work, he had some kind of bad something happened to him. We're not even sure what it was, an aneurysm, whatever. Rushed to the hospital, and within 12 hours, he was gone. He was gone. 4 small children, and... But why am I telling you about Michael Selesny? Because Michael Selesny, we learned after his patira. His wife went through his things. And she saw in his things like these notebooks. And every notebook was labeled, had a label on the front, Elul Tavshin Ayin, Elul Tavshin Samach, with a year and El. And in the notebook was a journal where he worked and he thought about the areas I need to improve. And he would take notes and work daily on the areas he needs to improve. You don't just walk into Rosh Hashanah. You don't just walk into Yom Kippur. You have to open up your machzer. You have to open up your notebook. You have to open up the vidui in advance and write down the things that you want to be thinking about, the things that you want to be working on. Michael Selesny's notebook, his wife Julie told us, she saw, unbelievable, Madrega, she saw his tears, dried teardrops, staining the notebooks, because he took these days and he took this vidu and he took this avoda very, very seriously. And therefore, do not walk into Yom Kippur Stam. Open up. I gave you the packet. What does Ashamnu mean? What does Bagadnu mean? What do these words mean? When we speak about Al-Chet Shechatanu Ba'Oinis V'Ratzon, Begilui V'Seser, These are things we should think about. Have we treated our parents with proper respect? Have we been there for them? Have we dedicated ourselves properly? Are we loose with our lips? Are we speaking lashon hara? Are we putting things into our mouth without brachos? Are we putting things into our mouth that are perhaps questionably kosher? Are we treating our chaverim with proper respect? Are we properly meticulous about Shmir Shabbos, about Asher Yotzars, about brachos, about Ben Adam Lechavero? Are we honest? Do we lie? Do we cheat on tests? All of these things need to be covered, and these are things that are elucidated in the Vidui. Spend the time before Yom Kippur. You wait to Yom Kippur, and then already you want to catch up in the Shmona Esrei, etc. No, take your pen and paper. You have some time today. You have Motzei Shabbos, you have Erev Yom HaKippurim. We're not going to the mikveh this year. You have time in your day to use your pen and paper and to start writing up, marking up your machzer. What do you want to be thinking about? I want to share with you a story that is Rav Waxman, Rav Ephraim Waxman, who's a mashgiach in the Lakewood Yeshiva, said over a number of years ago before Ne'ilah. And he told over the following story. He told over a story of a person who wanted to get on the train and needed to go from place A to place B on a train ride. And he inquired, how much does the train cost and what's involved in getting a ticket? So they told him, well, first class is chashuv seat, bed, you get very, very comfortable, good food, etc. But it costs a lot of money. It's an expensive ticket. Coach is much cheaper. He says, yeah, is there any way I can get pay coach fares and get first class? And they said, yeah, you can do that. If you get to the train station 4 hours early, and there's enough room in first class, the first class tickets are not all sold, you can get a coach ticket, you can buy a coach fare and get into first class. He says, ooh, that's pretty good, but who wants to waste 4 hours sitting on in the train station early? Forget it. So what are my other options? So they told him, well, if you get there 2 hours early, you get to choose whatever seat you want on coach. You can get your best seat on coach, the window seat, front seat, whatever seat you want. 2 hours early, you get to choose your seat on coach. So that sounds good. That sounds good. But who wants to spend 2 hours in the train station with nothing to do? I'm not so interested in that either. What are my next options? So they said, well, if you wait too long, then you might not have a seat on coach. But if you get there 30 minutes in advance, then standing room only. You'll be able to get on the train, but it's a standing room only seat. And he said, well, you know, it's not such a long trip. Well, you know, I can deal with that, standing room only. And that's what he decides to do. He doesn't want to waste time sitting around, and he's got things to do. He doesn't want to waste time sitting around in the train station. So what happens to him? 4 hours early, he doesn't come. He's not going for that. He'll pass on the first class. 2 hours early to get his choice coach seat, and he's going to pass on that. A half hour early to make sure he at least gets standing room only. He doesn't even do that. He gets to the train station literally as the 4 o'clock train is there to pull out. He gets to the train station, and literally as he gets there, the train is pulling out of the station. And the conductor sees him running after the train, and the conductor reaches out to kind of pull him onto the train. Maybe I can grab him and he can pull him onto the train. That's what the conductor does. And says Rav Ephraim Waxman, a lot of this story is us, because we've had 40 days. For 40 days, we had the opportunity to do tshuva, to come close. That was to get on the first class ticket and get there early and on time and really be working those 40 days of Elul. That's getting there 4 hours. Okay, we missed that. Probably many of us missed those days of Elul. We're in quarantine. Who could think about tshuva when you're in quarantine? Not shy. Okay, but then we had Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh Hashanah is like getting there 2 hours early, getting your choice coach ticket. And we did nicely on Rosh Hashanah. We did a good job, but perhaps we did not fully maximize our Rosh Hashanah and really think fully about what we needed to do there as well. But we had Aseres Yimei Tshuva. We're in the middle of Aseres Yimei Tshuva, perhaps Shabbos Tshuva. That is for those who, first come, first serve, get your standing room only seat. And we have that opportunity, at least that opportunity. But Cesar Vafram Waxman, he gave this shmuz before Ne'ilah about 10, 12 years ago. He said, but most of us we even squander Shabbos Tshuva. And he says, what happens is Yom Kippur at Ne'ilah, The pasuk says in the Eil at the end of the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Ata Nosen Yad LaPoshim. You reach your hand out to grab onto the sinners, to help out the sinners. Ata Nosen Yad LaPoshim. And he says, that's us. We blew the 4 hours, we blew the 2 hours, we blew the standing room only, and if we're lucky, we have the Ata Nosen Yad LaPoshim, that Hashem reaches out to us. So I'm telling you, Refrain told the story over, and Refrain said, why tell this over right before Ne'ilah? Why wait till one of the Talmidim came to Rav Ephraim Wax and says, why do you wait till Ne'ilah? You should have told this over to us Rosh Chodesh Elul, or at least before Rosh Hashanah, or at least before Shabbos Shuvah. So we don't wait till the last minute when Hashem is now Atanos and the conductor is saying, reaching out to us, come get on the train, get on the train. So I didn't tell you over this Maisa on Rosh Chodesh Elul. I didn't tell it to you on Rosh Hashanah, and I didn't tell it, but I didn't wait till Ne'ilah. So I'm telling it to you now, Erev Shabbos Shuvah. And I'm telling you right now, your Yom Kippur, Kol HaToreach BeErev Shabbos Yochal BeShabbos, your Yom Kippur will be more meaningful if you do the work in advance. Begin with the end in mind. Don't walk into Yom Kippur without preparation. The preparation is critical. Just like you don't walk into Shabbos without a shower. Just like you don't walk into tefillah without a hachana for tefillah. Just like Knesset Yisrael didn't walk into Kabbalah's HaTorah without v'yei nechonim shloshes yamim, that for 3 days they started preparing themselves for Kabbalah's HaTorah. That is how we make things meaningful. You don't just walk into a wedding, you prepare for the wedding. There's erisin when you do the work in advance. You don't just walk into something that's important. You do the work in advance. So I've given you on your WhatsApp, you have a vidui sheet. And I can't do the work for you. Eliezer, I can't do the work for you. The reason I can't do the work for you is because I'm busy doing the work for myself. I got my own averis. And I'm not going to tell you what those averis are, and I don't expect you to tell me what your averis are. But I do say to you that look at the vidui. The vidui is there. The Seder HaVodah, the Al-Chetz are there to help us, to prompt us, to enable us to think. Yes, they're written Me'alif Ataf, every single letter of the alphabet, because something in there is relevant to us. And I'm telling you some free advice. Perhaps you don't want to work on every single, we have a litany of things. We have so many things we need to work on. So perhaps you don't want to take on every single thing in the world, because that might be overwhelming, that might be too much. But to identify 2, 3, 4 things that you want to take on, and to make some modest kabbalos. Think about these things before Yom Kippur. Think about them today, tomorrow, the next day. And to start to think how I can improve in these areas. Perhaps I'll give you one that's really, really important. Zilzul Horin. How many of us really, really treat our parents the way we should be treating our parents? Our parents who give us everything. So I'll feed you one thing to think about. You're going to call your parents Bezrat Hashem Erev Shabbos. And you're going to call them again Erev Yom HaKippurim. And they're going to ask you, how are you doing? How's yeshiva? How was your week? And you can be the typical 18, 19-year-old teenage boy who's going to say like this, it was good. It was fine. Yeah, it's good. It's great. I'm having a good time. And basically give them nothing. Or you can talk to them. You can share with them. You can talk to them about what you're feeling, what you're experiencing. How are you doing? How's life over there? I hear just open up. Be more open with your parents. That's an amazing thing you can do for your parents. Zilzul Horim, to give them that respect, that nachas, that sharing. We have a lot of things. Again, it's very common for young men to struggle with areas of Shmiras Einayim. And to struggle with those kinds of things, certainly in the area of an avoda, to think about how I can curb those issues, how I can channel myself in a better way in those areas. Perhaps we're not as careful about saying Asher Yotzars, and perhaps to spend at least one Asher Yotzar a day, one Asher Yotzar a day that I'm going to say with Kavana Rabba, one a day. The first one of the day, the last one of the day, the middle of the day, whenever, one a day, I'm going to say with great, great kavana. Perhaps we don't always greet our chaverim with a big smile on our face. To go ahead and see a chaver, and every morning you have that person, you're going to say good morning with energy, with joy, with a smile on your face. Little things, little areas of avoda that can go so far. but it doesn't just happen when we snap our fingers. It's not it's something you have to think about in advance. And there's a long list. There's a long list, and the list is not there to overwhelm us. The list is there to trigger us, to help us focus. But again, don't wait till Maariv, or even don't wait till Mincha on Erev Yom Kippur. Don't wait till Maariv for sure. Is start to work on these things. Think about them in advance, what you want your focus to be. Write up in your Machzor. Mark it up. It's only for you. It's private to you, or Mitzvah Hashem will be printing out for you the sheets that I gave you to help you focus yourself. We'll be printing those out for you. I'll also, Mitzvah Hashem will be printing out for you, similar to what we did in Rosh Hashanah, a Yom Kippur list of things to be thinking about in our davening, things that we might want to, every tefillah, Maariv, Shachris, Musaf, Mincha, and Ne'ilah, to help us focus ourselves and to make Kabbalos, I'm going to just close with a very inspiring thing that's going on in my community. There was a Talmud of Mevaseret from about 20, 22 years ago. They had a baby literally 1 year ago. Unfortunately, the second the baby was born, minutes after the baby was born, based on what the midwife was looking and saying, and based on what the nurses were saying, they knew something was very wrong. This baby, there was something very, very wrong with the baby. And what a tzara. You know, you have a newborn baby. You've been carrying the baby for 9 months. You don't really know that there's going to be a problem. And basically, the baby had a very serious genetic disease. And basically, the nature of this disease, I don't even know how to pronounce it. It's pretty rare. Incompatible with human life. That's the metzias. Incompatible with human life. And they had this baby, a little bit deformed, needed oxygen constantly, and basically the life expectancy of this baby was anywhere between a couple of days to a month or two, maximum. That was the life expectancy of this baby. And so they knew that time with the baby was not long, and most people, when they have a baby like this, they give the baby up to the hospital to take care of the hospital, and they move on with their lives. It's too painful. It's so painful, too difficult to handle. That's not what this couple did. This couple was in the hospital. Mother was in the hospital nursing her child, nursing the child, doing their best. And then a miracle. But about 3-4 weeks after the baby was born, maybe 3 or so weeks afterwards, the doctors gave the baby clearance to have a bris milah. Up until then, it was been very dangerous, but clearance to have a bris milah. The bris milah took place in the hospital. This was obviously well before COVID, but close friends came into the ICU, the NICU, the neonatal ICU. Someone came in with a guitar, the mail came in, and they celebrated this little boy's bris milah. And they named the baby. And they named the baby the most beautiful and precious name you can imagine. The baby's name was Netanel Yakir. Netanel, gift from Hashem. Yakir, our precious, precious gift from Hashem. And amazing. 10 days after the bris milah or so, 30 days into the baby's life, Netanel Yakir's life, they were given permission. They were brought him home. They brought the baby home. And they oxygen machines at home. The chesed that Netanel Yakir brought into the world, people taking care of the family, the kids, etc., and basically they brought him home. I remember on a Shabbos I went to visit, held Netanel Yakir in my arms, and it was immensely, immensely inspiring. Netanel Yakir gave his neshama back to Ribono Shel Olam 51 days after he was born. And I went to the Levaya. There's nothing more painful to see. You know, normally when you have a Levaya, so you have a nice sized goof, a corpse. That's here. The father carried in an 8-pound baby for the Levaya. There was nothing more painful to see. There are a lot of questions. And Evan and Devorah. Devorah spoke the most inspiring hesped I've ever heard in my life. And the way people grew from this experience, to see this family take on this nisayon and grow from it. And Natan Yakir's yard site is coming up in days from now. And his yard site is actually on Shabbos, and they're making a siyum, and they're celebrating Natan Yakir's 51-day life. And basically, right before Elul, 51 days before his yard site, they started getting the community involved in making kabbalas, in accepting upon themselves a kabbalah of how we can grow, what we can do, what we learn from Natan Yakir and the chesed and the and again, I'm sharing you my inspiration from this couple and this family and how they took this tremendous nisayon with such great pain. They put out a video. They put out a video today. I'll share that video with you, Bezrat Hashem. But to be able to be uplifted and take challenges, but understand their opportunities for growth. And then 51 days of kabbalos, of inspiration. And that's really the challenge, is to find our inspiration, find our kabbalos, find our challenges, know that the challenges that we have are there for us to grow from. And Bez Hashem, Yom Kippur, for some people, and it shouldn't be this way, for some people it's a day, I can't wait till Yom Kippur is over. And that's not what Yom Kippur is about. Yom Kippur is the most amazing day of the calendar. It's an incredible, incredible day where we are malachim. We wear white, we stand in front of the Ribono Shel Olam, and we have the opportunity to be our best. We bring out our best. We show Hashem, this is our best. We can do better. We can be better. We are better. And we can take the opportunity to say, it's not the pshat that I'm fasting like I do all year long. I don't need food. I don't need food. I'm above food. I'm past food. I don't need food. I don't need to sleep so much. I don't need to do the things, be in the chadar ochel. I'm above that. I'm past it. I can be more than that. And that's the amazing, amazing opportunity that Yom Kippur brings us. It allows us to be our best, to show Hashem that we're here. We're here to serve you. We're here to be with you. We're here to be your children and Avinu Malkeinu, and we want to experience that amazing, amazing experience. So I want to, again, my message to you right now is, don't just walk into Yom Kippur. Go ahead and do the hachana. Kol ha'ochel, kol ha'toreach be'erev Shabbos, ochel b'Shabbos. Do the hachana now. If you do put in the work before Yom Kippur, if you do the work of Erev Yom Kippur, so then your Yom Kippur is going to be on a different level. And that's what we find all the time. Rav Meir Torsk, and I will close with this, just pointed out, one of the differences between living in Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz, it's not Shabbos. Chutz Laretz has Shabbos, Eretz Yisrael has Shabbos. The difference between Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Laretz is not Shabbos, it's Erev Shabbos. It's Friday. How you walk into Shabbos. You walk into Shabbos relaxed, not just running home from work and the like. You can walk into Shabbos in a very, very different way. We walk into Yom Kippur in that way. And Bez Hashem, if we do that work now, in advance, we experience the Shabbos Shuvah, we experience the Erev Shabbos, we experience the Erev Yom HaKippurim, Bez Hashem, we go into Yom Kippur with the proper mindset, with the proper Hachana, and we'll be able to do a true and proper Shuvah. Have a wonderful Shabbos Kodesh. A meaningful Shabbos Kodesh, a meaningful Erev Yom Kippur, and Bez Hashem, we'll grow, and we'll show Hashem who we really, really are. Have an excellent rest of your day.